Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the Bible, in Genesis, in the Old Testament, there were two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and they didn't get along. In fact, they were at it with each other, even from their mother's womb. And after they were born, they continued to struggle and fight all the way through their lives. And at one point, Jacob stole his brother Esau's blessing. And Esau was angry and wanted to kill Jacob. So Jacob fled. He ran away from there to a faraway place called Haran. And to get there, he had to pass through the great wilderness. And in the wilderness, he was all alone. Think about how alone he was. In just a day, he had left behind and lost his father and his mother, his brother and his family, his friends, his acquaintances, his home, and his country. And now here he was, all alone in the world, in the wilderness, by himself, seemingly without a friend. And he had but a stone for his pillow. And he lay down that night to go to sleep in the desert. Well, that night, God appeared to him in a dream. And he said this. He said, "Fear not, Jacob." He said in chapter 28, verse 15, he says, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." I want to ask you a question about your life based on this verse. Do you think it could be said of you, "Surely God is in this place and is with you, and you didn't know it"? Well, I hope you guys know that God is with you in your life. But there are times, sometimes, when we get afraid, anxious, face a real difficulty, and we begin to at least question, if only for a moment, "God, are you really with me and for me to deliver me?" Well, today, then, I want to talk with you about this very thing. About God's promise that you would never, ever be alone, and that God would be with you always in everything in life. Think how that would change you if you were to have that confidence and to know for a certainty when you face good times, bad times, anything in life, even death, "God is with me, He's for me, He'll deliver me." How that would change you. That's what I want you to know today, so that you would not be like Jacob and say, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it." I want you to say, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I know it." Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What's God have to say to us to give us confidence in this today, that we're never alone, but that He's with us always and to deliver us? Well, the first thing we might want to look at in Scripture is at the very beginning. One of the very first things God ever says of man in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And so you all know God made a companion for him, a woman. But I love that word, and think about that truth for a second with me, okay? God said it's not good that the man should be alone. God wants made us for relationships with each other. God made us for a relationship with Him first and foremost, and He doesn't want you to be alone. He cares that you are with Him and He is with you and that you know it. Do you know it today? I hope you do, but we can certainly grow in that. Just imagine, if you would for a minute, how sad it would be, how horrible to go through life in this world all alone. What that would be. Imagine you have a great mountain experience, you see the wonders of the majestic mountains, or you see this crimson sunset over the river, but there's no one to share it with. You can only experience it alone. How sad that would be. Or consider you go through the very valleys of life and trials, tribulations, dangers, challenges, defeats that we face in life alone. How terrifying that would be. How weak you would be with no friend, no other person to build you up. Imagine then facing death alone, to die alone, with no one there to comfort you. Wouldn't that be the worst thing of all? Go through that experience and not have one with you? How terrifying that would be. And to face, to stare into a dark eternity, think of that, to hell, apart from God and from others, in eternal chains, forever alone, alone, alone. What a horror that would be, to be alone. And we know that that's actually the punishment reserved for those who reject God and Christ in this world. The Bible says, and this is 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, the wicked shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Oh, how horrible to think of being alone, alone, alone forever. But the good news for you is God didn't create you to be alone, friends. He doesn't even want you to feel alone. He wants you to know that he's with you always. He's designed you for a relationship with him and others. And he wants you to be convinced of this today. So my aim, again, is that you wouldn't say with Jacob, he was in this place and I didn't know it, but that you know he is in this place and I did know it, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, never leave you alone. So how do you think that would change your life? It would change you drastically. to have a confidence and say, I know he's with me. Think of how it changed Joshua. He is trying to lead the people of Israel or encourage them to go up to take the promised land, but they're afraid of giants. Before them, the people of Israel were like grasshoppers. These people had fortified cities. The people were turning away, and Joshua says, do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they're bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Think of how your life would change. You know, if you were confident in everything, God is with me and for me. This challenge is bread for me. Let's go up. It cannot stand before us. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 20, he said, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. He had courage. It gave him absolute confidence, certainty of the final outcome of things in his favor. Consider David, when he was confident the Lord was with him, facing a giant. The Philistine said, hey boy, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. But David said to the Philistine, the Lord will deliver you this day into my hand, and I'll strike you down, and all the earth shall know that there's a God in Israel. Wouldn't you love to talk like that?
Hey.
You know the difference? If you want to talk like that in your life, it's this. In your confidence in knowing that God is with you, to deliver you, to help you, to strengthen you, to uphold you with his righteous, omnipotent hand, and to give you the victory, it comes from knowing he's with you. I once jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Skydiving. I jumped out with confidence, even though I'd only had 30 minutes of training. How can I do that? Jump 2 miles up out of an airplane with 30 minutes of training and do it confidently. You know why? Because I was connected to the instructor. He was with me and for me. We are connected by these pieces of steel, and I knew that if I die, he dies. And so he had a big investment in my safety. If I were going alone, I would have been panicked and afraid and might have messed up and died. But because I knew he was with me and for me, I could jump out with confidence, though still afraid. I knew it, and I could go and come down to a happy ending after all. That's what God wants with you and your life. You might say, now that sounds great, Pastor, but I still have a problem. Because at times it's hard to believe that God is really with me in my life. It's difficult when I face a challenge or a hardship or a trouble. Sometimes I doubt. Well, I understand that. I have that kind of problem too. What do you think it is? What's the problem? Why do we have trouble believing he is with us in life? I think the answer is because he's invisible. We're being asked to believe that someone is with us, even though we can't see that someone, but that he's nevertheless at our side to deliver us. And you know what? You can't see God. No man has ever seen God, says John. Paul says he's the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. Moses wanted to see God's face. Remember that in Exodus 33? God, please show me your glory, he says. And God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Do you know that God wants you to see his face, but he protects you from himself? He keeps you from seeing it because he wants you to live? Man, in his sinful state, sinful body, can't look on the holiness and the power and the glory of God and live. He died. That's being prepared for us when we're raised from the dead and have a new body. We can look on God. For we hear this promise, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall see his face. Psalm 11. And Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. At the last, he'll stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side and not another. So for what we need right now is, we are like in the children's sermon. We're being led. We're blindfolded to protect ourselves. But he's nevertheless with us. He's saying, I'm with you. I'm comforting you. Watch your step here. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. This is the way. Walk in it. I'm with you. If we trip, he catches us. And he's leading us. I'm with you. And we do see him, even now, by faith. It says of Moses in Hebrews 11, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you see him who is invisible before you? Oh, how changed would your life be if you could say, as David says in Psalm 16, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's the kind of confidence that you can get from knowing he is with you and for you. But how can I know? How can I know that he's really with me? Well, let me first speak in a general sense, okay? In a general sense, it's impossible for you not to be with him, all right? David says in Psalm 139, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. You actually can't get away from him because he's everywhere. And Jonah, we know, tried to run away from God, couldn't do it. He hired a boat, put to sea, headed for Tarshish, the furthest reaches of the world at the time. But even there, God found him. Couldn't get away from God. So, in a general sense, he's everywhere. He's always with everybody. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. But that's a general sense. In a more special sense, he is with some people, and he's not with others. It says in the Bible, he's with the generation of the righteous, but he's not with the wicked. When David was facing Goliath, God was with David, for David, to deliver him. But his face was against the giant. In Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah said, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. With me, therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They'll not overcome me. He's not with them. And so what we need to know, and this is the confidence, is not only that he's around us, but that he's with us and for us in our favor to strengthen us and give us the deliverance in our life. Are you confident of that? So how do we know? How can we know this? Well, some people would direct you to your feelings, right? You've all met people like this. They just go around so happy all the time. I feel God's presence with me. I feel this. I feel this. Oh, I feel him here. And they kind of make you sick almost a little bit because you're like, man, I wish I felt that good all the time. I mean, look at these people. They're just bubbling it all over. They're going on feelings. And if it's a truth feeling, yeah, more power to them. That's great. But you know what? Feelings are not reliable. I've met Native American mystics. I have met New Age gurus. I have met Universalist Unitarians who deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they feel or think God is with them, but I know he's not, because the scriptures teach no one who denies the Son has the Father. Amen. He who confesses the Son has the Father also, 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. So feelings, friends, are good if you got them, but they're not reliable about this. Take Samson, for example. You know, God was with him. He smote the Philistines. But then at night, he gave his little secret to Delilah, to enter the girl, right? Always the trouble in the Bible, right? She snips his hair. The secrets of his strength are gone. He gets up. She says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." He woke from sleep. He said, "I'll go out as at other times and shake myself free." And he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So there are people who feel like God is with him, and he's not really with them. There's also people who feel that God's not with him, but he really is. Take Moses, for example. Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? How am I going to do that?" God says, but I will be with you. And even then, though God was with him, he was afraid, and he said, "Oh God, please send some other person." And then God got angry. But notice, you can feel God's with you, and he's not. You can feel he's not with you, and he is. Feelings are unreliable. I'd like to take you today deeper than feelings, to knowledge. I want you to know this. When I'm flying up to Boston in 3 days, I don't want to be on the runway and have my pilot come on the intercom and say, "I feel that the plane is safe to fly to Boston." I want him to say, "I know that the plane is safe to fly to Boston." Knowing is better than feeling. Though feelings are good if they follow, but they don't have to be there. So here's my question to you. How can you know in your life, even beyond feelings, that God is with you and for you and will never leave you alone ever in your life and to eternity? Well, the answer and the key, I believe, friends, is in that little word, alone. It's a very special word in the Bible. And God gives these promises that those who turn to God alone and not to another, who turn to Christ alone as Savior, may be sure that they will never be alone. For example, Isaiah 45, "They have no knowledge, says God, who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save them." In other words, they don't have God with them. He says then, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Amen. Turn to Christ alone. "No one who denies the Son has the Father, but he who confesses the Son has the Father also." What's that mean, to have the Father? It means he's with you. Amen. He'll never leave you or forsake you if you turn to Christ alone as Savior. Amen. How important that word alone is, that you never be alone. Another thing is to know that you are saved by grace alone, right? Then you'll never be alone. For Titus 3 says, "We were once foolish, disobedient. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And watch this now, listen. "So that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life." The saying is sure. The saying's what? Sure. God wants you to know something. You're saved by grace and grace alone. And when you believe that, you may be sure that you will never be alone. Grace alone and Christ alone. He also wants you to know it's through faith alone. We read in Galatians 2, Paul says, "We know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law shall no one be justified." What does "not by works of the law" mean? It means faith alone. You need to believe that For by grace you've been saved, Ephesians 2, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Do you acknowledge right now that you are saved through Christ alone?
Amen.
Through grace alone?
Amen.
Through faith alone?
Amen.
Then you may be sure that you will never be alone.
Amen.
And one more. Your faith, by which you're saved, must not be alone. It is accompanied by faithfulness, by deeds of faith. For we read, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. And Jesus says this, and listen up. He says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There it is, friends, right there. We will make our home with that person who keeps my word. So I want to give you a test right now. You ready for a test? Do you look to Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you look to God alone as your Savior? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe you're saved by grace alone? Say amen.
Amen.
By faith alone you're justified?
Amen.
Do you believe that that it is not alone, but it's accompanied by faithfulness? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I know we all sin and we all have our troubles at times, but we strive to keep God's word. And if you are holding fast to these alones, you'll never be alone.
Amen.
Because God has given you a promise. To people who believe in his son, to people who believe in his gospel, to people who follow his son, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will uphold you with my own strong, righteous, outstretched hand. You'll never be desolate. I will come to you. I'll live in you, and I will see you through. Now, this is a knowing, friends, not just a feeling. You know, feelings are fickle. They're capricious. They fly this way, they fly that way. They change. Knowing is steadfast. Sometimes in my life, I get afraid. I get anxious. I get troubled. I'm a little afraid to do something. But you know what? At times like that, I say to the Lord, I say, God, I know my fear is irrational. I don't know why I'm feeling afraid right now. I don't know why I'm feeling anxious. But this I know, God, that you are with me and that you are for me according to your promise in Jesus Christ. And that enables me to go step up here into the pulpit, step out there onto the sea, step out into life and live.
Amen.
And that's what God wants for you.
Yeah.
It's great if you have the feelings as well, but God wants you to know. And for God not to keep his word to you, to be with you always, even to the close of the age, as Jesus says. You know what that would mean? That would mean God would have to break his character. That would mean God would have to break his word. That would mean God would have to break his promise. That would mean God would have to go against everything that he is as God if he's going to leave you and forsake you at that point. These are promises for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. And the psalmist says, my enemies will be turned back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. And God whose word I praise, and the Lord whose word I praise, and God I trust without a fear, what can man do to me? Oh, wouldn't you love to have that attitude today? Say, yes, I would.
Yes, I would.
Well, God gives it to you. He wants you to go home today with that in all things. And see how he encourages all the way through the scripture these saints as we need encouragement. Moses, I can't go. God says, but I will be with you. Gideon, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? But I will be with you. You shall smite the Midianites as one man. Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And to Paul, he even says, don't be afraid, but speak. And don't be silent, for I am with you. And no man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And now God says to you this word, to you, in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. In fact, Jesus, friends, was the only person who needed no convincing on this. The hour is coming, he said. Indeed, it has come when you'll be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And you know, Jesus went up onto that cross alone, 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 in order that you might never be alone. He died for you to reconcile you to God, to bring you together, to give you peace, to bring you to God and God to you, so that you will be united forever, I and you and me, and I and the Father, and all of us in each other. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So hold to God alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and your faith not being alone, you'll never be alone. And we can say with Paul, now I'm sure, now I know, now that I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen.
Amen.